The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Beth Moore shares the teaching nature of God.
When we allow God to do what He needs to do to bring us to the place where He needs to bring us, He overtakes our consequences, and they become part of a teaching process instead of just a consequential process. I want to show you this, and I'm praying somebody is about to be set free with what we're going to read.
Victory through chastisement, next.
Love you and thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity of sharing life today with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to offer you something that you can get in the bookstores. You could go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble online, order it, and you could help us literally, and I'll just give you an illustration. You could help us put some food in a container like this, or you could help us put some food in a container like this. Either one will save a life because it's the food that matters. And what we're going to ask you to do after you've heard Beth Moore teach, and that's going to really bless you because very important lesson she's teaching. She's talking about correction, about chastisement. And we're going to send you the God of all creation. Life lessons we learn from pets and wildlife. God revealed Himself what He created. Now, I want to tell you something. If you know anybody that loves a pet and you would like for them to see God clearly, get this in their hands. Betty, I've been watching people buy 2, 3, 4, and 5 at a time because I know what they're thinking. I love somebody that loves a pet. And I want them to see the God that loved us enough to give us those little pets. We'll send it to you, or you can go online, get several copies. It'd be an awesome gift for Christmas, awesome gift for any special occasion, because it's going to point people to the God who loves us so much. Now, I want you to listen to Beth Moore teach about correction. Tough word, chastisement. Real important. Don't miss this. Here's Beth.
You about something. What happens when some of the suffering that we're going through, we know good and well we caused? I wonder if anybody, just one person out there is dealing with any painful consequences. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because this is a very complicated matter, isn't it? When we live in that whole regret thing of look what I did to myself. What happens then? How do we deal with that kind of a situation? What do we do when we're fairly certain we're going through a little disciplinary process with God? Anybody know what I'm talking about? What we call a little time of chastisement with God. How do we deal with that? Because I just want to throw out to you that at times nothing is more complex than that. And I tell you a couple of reasons why I feel led to share with you on this particular topic and study God's Word with you where it's concerned. For one thing, because I've dealt with it so often. I know what it's like to just so royally mess up, to make so many foolish decisions, and to get yourself caught in some long-term situations that you know you asked for. It's a very complicated thing when you're getting healthier and God is putting you back together again, but, you know, you're still dealing with the old consequences. Maybe somebody can relate. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How do you deal with a mess that you know deep in your heart you made? Does anybody think that's a good question besides me? Because a lot of things we're victimized by. Injustices happen. But then there are other times when we realize the mess we're in, we got ourselves in. That was me. I was shocked when God began to clean me up and began to heal my heart, to find out that people that walked in between the ditches still had problems. I thought every problem I ever had was always a consequence of sin, because that's all I had ever dealt with. And so this is just huge to me. It may be that your example is not that dramatic, but let me throw out a couple to you. I can tell you that the most intense time of chastisement from God I have ever been through in my entire half century of living was over pride and self-righteousness. That was the very thing God was treating in me. Not my carnality. My pride and my self-righteousness got me into more trouble than anything has ever, ever had an impact on me. It could be that maybe we were haughty and ugly in a relationship that is now turned back around on us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, now, I want to be nice now. You know, we just kept thinking that spouse or that person was just going to keep taking it. Could be a poor business or financial decision. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That you think, I am still dealing with that. I'm still dealing with that. Maybe somebody can get that. Or proceeding with something that we had a warning in our heart about. That we knew. I mean, anybody besides me ever gone, God told me not to do that. I knew in my gut, something told me, do not proceed with that. And I did. Or it may be something huge like an infidelity or a secret life of some kind. But what do we do then when we get caught in whatever way we might get caught? It catches up with us and we start dealing with our consequences. What do we do then? What do we do when we're going through a time of chastisement? I think that is an extremely significant and important question, because you need to know your place with God and your place in the body of Christ. I want to read to you out of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 5 and read through verse 13. Anybody glad to be in the Word of God and to hear something, a little bit of hope, amen. A little bit of hope where this subject is concerned, even when you made and I made my own mess. Verse 5, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. I want to submit to you today that maybe we have forgotten this. Maybe we didn't even know it. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. The thing about enduring hardship, the thing that makes hardship so hard, is that it is so hard. You know, it's a hardship to take. Would somebody disagree with me here? It's hard. It says, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we've respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? It says, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. I want you to see verse 15 as well. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I'm not sure we are ever in a greater setup to miss the grace of God than when we think we do not deserve it. Listen, the very essence of grace is you cannot deserve it. It's impossible. The very fact that it's grace makes it something you cannot possibly earn. And you and I, even if we're the ones that wrecked our ship, we got to know there's grace for us. And we got to know what on earth we're to do with it. Now, I like to think, I have a student's heart, so I like to think if I were in a classroom, the kind of questions I would be asking at that moment. And one question I would have right now is, okay, Beth, now what is the difference between consequences and chastisement? Because we're really going to settle on, when we're going through it, what we realize is some discipline from God. Well, what's the difference between consequences and chastisement. Consequences are just, they are the natural outcome. They are part of the natural order of God as boss. Anybody getting that with me? Because of the way he set up the universe, both saved and unsaved people, he has put a natural law over the human kind that says you will reap what you sow. It will come back to you. There will be consequences. It doesn't take being a believer in Christ to have consequences of poor decisions. Would we agree with that? But chastisement is a much more wonderful thing than that, although we think it's worse. We assume from the very beginning that just means punishment, and that's always going to have a more negative connotation to us. But chastisement is God's supernatural order, his supernatural law as Father, as Father. The other is the natural order of God as boss. This one is the supernatural order of God as Father. Listen, I need somebody to know here today that if you are a child of God, and by that I mean if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your God cannot be unbiased about you. He can never set aside his fatherly, his Abba love for you and just try to make a very unbiased decision. God is completely biased where you are concerned. His favored child. He cannot ever separate himself from the huge emotion of being your parent. I don't know about you, but that's huge to me. That's important to me. I need to know that from him. He's Father. And so what this means is when we allow God to do what he needs to do to bring us to the place where he needs to bring us, he overtakes our consequences, and they become part of a teaching process instead of just a consequential process. I want to show you this, and I'm praying somebody is about to be set free with what we're going to read. Leave something in Hebrews 12 because that is our text for this series. But go with me now to Psalm 103. I want you to see some words that if you will let them, will become like a balm to your soul. I mean, this is just medicine to our aching, so often broken souls. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 13. Say this. Psalm 103, verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. I need from somebody on the other side of that screen, I need a really loud amen. I need a shout of hallelujah because he does not treat us as our sins deserve. If he did, I promise you, I would not be here serving you today. I promise you. It says then, or repay us according to our iniquities, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So the transgressions have been removed. So what about the consequences? Stay with me here. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Keep that word fear in your heart and in your head somewhere as we go through the lesson. We'll see it later. But now stay with me here. God only allows the consequences to come to pass that will teach us. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, when the word discipline is used, anytime it talks about the father disciplining his child and uses the word disciple or discipline, it is always about a teaching process. It is correction that is always instruction oriented. It is never correction for the sake of correction. It is correction for the sake of instruction. God will only allow the consequences to come to us that will teach us where we do not want to be. He allowed enough to happen. I mean, he had just had mercy on me. I cannot tell you how long I would have thought I was getting away with some of my stuff. And finally, because he just kept saying over and over again, Beth, you need to repent. This needs to stop. Just a little longer, just a little longer. And then boom. I mean, then the kind of consequences, I mean, he could have just killed me. He truly could have. He certainly could have just taken me out of anything that would have ever been useful to people. And this was a number of years ago when I just went through my full-out crisis with him in my early 30s. I mean, it just could have been over for me. But he only allowed the consequences that made me know, okay, I know one thing, that's not who I want to be and that is not what I want to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If it's enough to get us there, it's kind of like, have you had enough heat yet? And when we have, then it's like, okay, I'm ready to change. And we're not ready to change until then. So, what, you know, we do not get what we deserve, and I praise God for that. We only get the consequences that are going to teach us that we want to be different than this. This is not how we want life to be. Now, I want you to see some things. I'm going to go through just a series of things pretty quickly. We're going to have two parts of this lesson. We're going to talk about what makes dealing with consequences and chastisement so complicated, and then we're going to talk about how to go through it victoriously. But in the first portion of it, what makes a season of chastisement or discipline so complicated? And I'm turning back now to Hebrews chapter 12. Here are a couple of things I want to throw out at you for you to have as food for thought. First of all, is the fault we have to accept. The fault we have to accept. In case it's been a while since we've really received that word, it's F-A-U-L-T. We live in a culture that teaches us that nothing is our fault. And listen, we cannot get on to change if we can never accept responsibility for something we've done. Never. It's a beautiful thing to finally just go, I own up. You understand what I'm saying? Until we can get to a place, we can't get on with it until we then take responsibility for what was my own stuff. I mean, I had stuff done to me, but I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I did some stuff. I did some stuff. It's an interesting word when it says, do not lose heart when he rebukes you at the very end of verse 5, because it's a word that says to point out, it's a word that means to point out a fault. That God is gracious to go, you know what, you got a little character issue right there. Right there, right there. He is not afraid to go, you know what, Beth, I need you to own that up. Because he knows, here's what it takes, I'm so sorry. Well, what is it we're so resistant to about just going, I own that, and I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's got to start there. So what makes it complicated is we got some fault we've got to accept. And let me tell you something, everybody does. Everybody does. Nobody has just stayed innocent and always been done wrong. It just is impossible in just human form. It's impossible to do. We all have fault. We've got to accept it. Until we do, we cannot get on with it.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, I think Beth, that, you know, when we've got an issue, I think the people that are the most difficult to talk to, the people that can't really see it all clearly, their own areas of need, it's really what happens in marriages. We can kind of see what the other person needs, can't see what we need.
A lot easier than we can see our own.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Beth's going to help. You don't want to miss this teaching. I want to show you something. You're going to hear, you're going to hear prayers. You won't necessarily know right off who they are. You're going to see what they're praying about, but you're going to hear prayers from Beth and from Ruth Graham and from one of our grandsons. You're going to hear us praying. And you say, what for? I want you to watch, because what I want to see, and I think you will too, I want to see the answer to the prayers you're going to hear. Watch this.
Oh, my goodness.
Pray for a miracle from the Lord. She needs food, but she needs more.
I ask you to perform a miracle in this child, God. Please stop its suffering, Jesus.
Disease of the devil. Lord, I just ask you to let the food we give him be a nourishment to his body.
Father, I just pray that you just take this child in your arms, in your loving arms. And that, Father, we need a miracle for this child.
He needs your help, Father. He needs a supernatural touch from you, Lord Jesus.
Child back to life. Father, I ask you to work a miracle in the hearts of people who are watching us right now to keep babies alive.
You are the God who heals, and you are the God who provides.
Somebody say.
God, help us to stop this Holocaust in our day. That could be dealt with by fighting disease and starvation and hunger. I'm merely giving. God, touch the hearts of people in Jesus' name.
Yes, you can, God. And so many times, if not most of the time, you're the miracle. You're the miracle answered prayer, Betty. I watched those graves, and I know it was my voice.
Nine graves right here in front of
me. And you know they're being dug for little bodies. The children of people who don't have the things that we take for granted and the things we have that, oh, we think are entertaining or fun and to make life pleasant, and nothing wrong with any of it. God gave us the creative energy and expertise to develop so many things. But for the truly poor, that's the only joy most of them have, a little child, a little family. And then they're gone. And we've got a miracle prayer we want to answer, Betty. I want those children to have food. We can feed them.
We sure can. And James and I have been there. We've seen the small little graves like you just saw. We've seen them where the mothers are weeping over those graves because their baby didn't get help in time. We want to make sure that the babies that are struggling now to survive just for the next breath, we want to get there in time, and you can be a part of that miracle that we're asking you to share with the lives of these children. Please join with us, and let's reach out and offer a miracle to them of food.
And you know we come to you twice a year, and we ask you to help us feed children for an extended period of time. And $30, $50, $100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. That means what you give today, if you'll take your bank card and call the number, or go to lifetoday.org and go ahead and make the gift online. You can do it. We get it immediately. It'd be great if you do that. You write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're sending. But I want you to keep this in mind now, because you see, we're talking about praying for a miracle. Well, we got another miracle answer, and you need to hear this. This just happened. We just got an offer of $3.8 million in food in a grant. Now, see, we got hundreds of thousands of children that we're trying to raise the funds for to feed. They're in the centers. What we just heard is if we can come up with another $640,000, and we got to keep raising the money for all these children that the missionaries have got in place. I mean, we're not near there yet. That's why the 30, 50, or 100 to feed 3, 5, or 10 is so important. But what you need to understand now is we're going to keep focusing on that, but we got a chance. If we can just get a $640,000 add-on, it's going to be multiplied 6 times in its effect, $3.8 million. That means $1,000 right now can have a $6,000 impact, $100, a $600 impact. So would you please today, Father, I pray everybody, okay, this is, God, this is an answer to prayer. I'm going to be an answer to prayer. Lord, I pray everybody to say that. I'm asking God to move on you. And then you be the answer to that prayer. You be the miracle. Please go to the phone. If you were to get a busy, say, I'm getting through. I'm going to be an answer to the prayer. I'm going to help. And make the largest gift you can. If any way you can give $1,000 or more, let it be multiplied to 6 or 100 and go to 600. Do it. We have some gifts we're sending you to bless you. We always want to bless you. I'm asking you, please, let's see the miracles together. Thank you so much for making the very best gift you can. And know it will be multiplied and it will make an impact.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Today, you can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. And now we have a miracle opportunity. A $3.8 million food grant has been offered to us for our mission and relief efforts. All we have to do is guarantee we can deliver the food at a cost of $640,000. This means your gift today can now have 6 times the impact. $30 to help feed 3 children can have a $180 impact. $50 for 5 children can have a $300 impact. And $100 to help feed 10 children can have a $600 impact for feeding. With your gift, you can receive James Robison's newest book, God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, which today can have a $6,000 impact. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Betty, I remember you saying so clearly and so many times to me and so many times on the program that you were just living and praying to see the day that the line to help was longer than the line to feed. That has not happened as of today because we have run out of food and left some children without. My heart is just broken. So I've experienced what you have experienced a number of times and never want to see happen again. So we're still praying toward that end. We're still working toward that end. We gotta be able to partner and give so that we can see that line become a reality where there are more helping than there are to feed. That could become a reality, but it is not yet a reality. Please go to the phone right now if you would. Just feel the prompting of God to act on what you've seen and act on what you've heard. I'm going to join you doing exactly that.
I think it's really important to understand that your gift can be multiplied 6 times. And when I tell you that we need the $640,000 to deliver $3.8 million in additional food supplies, but we got to get the delivery system in place, real, real important. We want to send you the beautiful Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, the God of All Creation book that I think will inspire you. And I just pray many of you will ask for that bronze and make that $1,000 gift that would immediately be multiplied, $6,000 in impact, and lives changed, saved, and they'll hear about the love of God because they've seen it. You've demonstrated it. Thank you so much. Thanks for watching. Thank all of you for being with us.
To show up some morning and say that is even better than a box of donuts. You know, the Lord be with you.
Liz Curtis Higgs, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.